What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, December 13th, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Chuff Money himself, Anthony Gaius.
Hey, you know what? That hat really brings out your youthful look all over again.
Yeah, does it? Yeah. See, I've been regressing. You know what I mean? The hat was the seasonal wear for every episode in December. And then this week, the final week of Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, this is the final week of Kinda Funny Games Daily for the year. I put on the Christmas sweater that I got at PSX too.
Yeah, you just look, you have a childlike sense of wonder to you.
Thank while you. You look good yourself. You know what I mean? Look at how good you look in this collared shirt you're wearing.
I woke up and threw clothes on and walked out the door, so.
I wish I could look that good just walking out the door, you know what I mean?
I think you do every day.
Oh, thank you very much, but it takes a lot to get this bad. Before we go any further, what I need to tell you is that this message is for Emily. Andrew has a special surprise for you for your birthday, but you have to go find it. The first clue is that you need to go to the place where you guys had your first date. If you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about before jumping in to your questions, comments, and concerns, giving you some perspective, reading bad PSN names, and everything else you send in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to be part of the show. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, and if you do, it is your duty to tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Of course, set us straight by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Landed yesterday from the PSX.
Yeah.
And the meet and greet and all that jazz. Came in here.
Yeah.
And just right into shows. And I was exhausted, right?
Yeah.
And I'm obviously fighting something here in the throat. All this different stuff. Didn't do the rigmarole in the beginning yesterday. So we just ran it right in the episode. It was great. Great episode. Don't get me wrong. I'm still on in terms of content wise. You know what I mean?
Right.
But even today, like that rigmarole wasn't exactly as locked up as I like it.
I've seen you dying from, cancer before, and you still were like, hey, I'm going to bring the energy, even if it's power for 30 through. Minutes and then.
Yeah, exactly. So. Then power down. Yeah. Okay. This is the last Kinda Funny Games Daily of the year. We've covered that. Emily, go to where you had your first date. Great. Covered that. Big news for us, of course, we are a business that prides itself and relies on its Patreon, patreon.com/kindoffunny and patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Patreon has decided not to roll out with those service fee changes that we were so against. We thank them for listening to us, the community, other creators, everybody else. That's fantastic news. Remember, it was one of those that we're lucky enough that you guys are with us through and through. We didn't see many people back off of our Patreon, but I know Danny's tweeted about it. I know a lot of smaller Patreons tweeted about it in terms of like they lost a lot of people when these service fees were proposed. Remember, you're voting with your wallet. They've listened to you. Go back to go back to Patreons that you might have had to vacate before as you made tough choices. It means a lot, obviously, and that's also how it works in terms of, oh, you did what we want. Now we'll support you again. This episode, of course, is also brought to you by Lisa.com and Omaha Steaks. You've heard the ads. They're really good Christmas gifts for everyone in your life, including the cat, but I'll get to it later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! That's how good he is. You understand, Kevin? He's going to do it with you.
He confused me. Should I not do it when he's here?
No, like you should it. Definitely like do stereo. It. I think we just need the double beeps. It's almost like when you see news shows and they have like a little bit of a reverb to it. I was just your reverb. That's all.
All right. Well, here's where it'll be interesting to see what happens. There are three items on the Roper Report.
Should I start? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. A baker's dozen!
Kevin, I used to always scream a baker's dozen when Colin would say how many there were, and then Kevin picked up the mantle, and I didn't know if you were doing that too because the beeps were in there too.
No. Well, I don't want to. I'm not like trying to become Kevin.
No, don't do that. Nobody do that at home, please. Please, God, we can't take two of them. We cannot take two of them.
Everybody hates me.
Oh no, Kevin, I love you, and you know it. Number one on the Roper Report, Predator is coming to Ghost Recon Wildlands.
What a weird thing.
What a great thing. What a great thing.
It's not a bad thing by any means. It's just like if you had asked, like, where are they going to take Wildlands, you'd be like, some more drug cartel expansion
stuff. Yeah, more in Bolivia. Blah, blah, what are they doing there?
But instead they went, like, straight. Like, that makes me think of the movie Predators. Do you remember that? Predators was the one with Adrian Brody
and the
mercenaries on the Predator planet. Like, that's the vibe that I would get from like a Ghost Recon's crossover.
Let me read to you from the UB blog. From December 14th through early January, the Predator will bring its unique skills to a special challenge that sees players, solo or with up to four players in co-op, hunting the creature, being hunted in return. Defeating the Predator will be no easy task, but if players manage to take it down, they will be rewarded with exclusive items, including the Predator Mask, which features Predator Vision. To help you fully embrace your inner hunter, the Predator Pack, available in the in-game store, introduces 15 new customization items inspired by the original movie, including weapons and a new close combat move. Ghost War, the free PvP mode for Ghost Recon Wildlands, will also get a Predator-inspired addition, a new class of soldier inspired by Dutch, the protagonist from the original movie, who can engage a battle rage mode to tip the scales in his favor. I won't lie, I gotta fucking play this.
I mean, it's the closest we're gonna get to a real Predator game in, like, anytime soon. And, sure. Like, you know, there's been Predator games in the past and stuff, but an Alien vs. Predator, by all accounts, was a great game, but it's like a... It's been a long time, and I feel like the mechanics of Wildlands are good.
Yeah.
So this just fits for that.
To me, this speaks a lot to what I feel Fortnite did with Battle Royale.
Sure.
Where when we were excited for Ghost Recon leading up to it, when we got it, we played it. It didn't click for me. Kevin, I know, really dug it and wanted, I think, played more of it. And it's one of those every so often, I was like, oh, maybe we weren't playing it right. We were doing Let's Plays. We were horsing around being jerks. So, I mean, sure. Maybe if I actually got in there and had, you know, co-op partners that were serious about it. But they put this in there and I'm like, oh, fuck, no, I really want to play this with the guys. I really want to do a party mode with this.
It's a weird thing, too, because it's like, you know, you think about, what was the name of that game that tried a monster versus four people?
Evolve.
Evolve.
Yeah.
It's like they're basically just taking some of those mechanics and being like, what if we just did that in our existing property?
I mean... It's that, but I mean, the problem with Evolve was that Evolve was so class-based.
Sure.
You need, the reason Evolve, I think, failed was the idea of,
I'm a medic.
I'm not a trapper. I don't know how to run this class, blah, blah, blah. Whereas, like, Left 4 Dead was great because it's just everybody go shoot shit.
Yeah.
This one, from what I've played of Wildlands, I'm sure there is, you know, skill-based this, that, and the other, but I do feel like the four of us could jump in pretty easily and get in there and be like, all right, we know what we're doing.
Totally, and I think... The Predator thing is cool because it's sort of an embracing of what Wildlands was, like, in the sense that Wildlands had, like, this really serious story about, you know, the drug cartels and you're taking it on and stuff. But, like, when I played it with my friends, we completely ignored that. We would just skip through it as fast as we could because the bottom line for us, that game was just a four-player, like, playground.
Right.
Like, we, you know, what, like, our favorite thing to do was, like, all right, let's all hop in the helicopter and we're flying over the land. And then without telling anyone, the pilot would bail out and all of a sudden the rest of us are in the chopper spinning towards the ground.
Yeah, no, you know, totally.
It's just a silly, like, fun place to experience, like, the cool third-person mechanics and stuff. And that Predator thing just, like, I think that just shows that they know what they have and they'll lean into it.
Exactly. You know? Well, it's Ubisoft doing what I think Ubisoft of 2017 does so well, and that's knowing what their game... as games as a service is popular for and what people are actually playing for and what would make sense for it, maybe outside of where it was before or what you thought of it before.
Sure.
In the same way that they've made Division, you know, with this latest patch, a game a lot of people have come back to and been really stoked about, and the way they've hung in there with For Honor and the way that they continue to support Rainbow Six. Like, they've done a great job of making these games that are ongoing be really well received. Not to mention that this is a great way to get me to come back. Because now it's like,
that's just it.
I want to come back and I want to play it with the guys. And then I'm sure that's going to lead to, this is actually more fun. And then it's going to be like, well, I'm starting from scratch. Poe, do you want to play? Like, you know, and actually get in there with people.
And it's like a place, it's like so different that it's like, if they had just said, you know, we have a new pack and it has some customization options and guns, it'd be like, I liked Wildlands. Maybe I'll go back.
Yeah.
But something as weird as this, which is like such an alternate way to play with a really different character, that's like enough that I feel like you get people who have been like, I don't know, I heard of Wildlands. Okay, this is like crazy enough, I'll check it out. Like,
yeah.
It is a big enough sort of addition and a weird enough addition. And I just say weird, it sounds like it's bad. It's not bad. It's just not what you expect.
I pulled this from this these two paragraphs from the UB blog. There they have a Q&A with the developer, and one of them is like, all the legendary missions you've done have been just set in Bolivia. Why jump to the Predator now?
I mean, actually, isn't that I think that's where the Predator takes place, the first movie.
Oh, was it?
I think it might be in Bolivia.
The jungles of Bolivia? Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kevin's shaking his head there, too.
It's definitely Central American jungles.
Okay.
You have to, remember, I'm American. So anything below, like, Texas is just like...
Mexico.
They're all one country.
It's really hot.
So,
oh, Kevin, don't shake your Peruvian head at us. Yeah, I'm super excited to play it. I hope we have time. It doesn't work out well for me, the timing, because, of course, we're taking... Friday's our final day of work, and then I'm on the road. But I'm sure they're putting this game up for a discount. Probably a great idea there.
Exactly.
Like, and you have a lot of free time. Like, get everybody involved. Show everybody what's happening. I'm super excited to see what happens. Drops tomorrow. Exciting. Next story. Nintendo would like to make some mobile games faster. Now, this is according to the Wall Street Journal, but by way of IGN, because Wall Street Journal always wants me to pay for the subscription, but then IGN writes it up.
You get two paragraphs in, and you're like, dang it.
Yeah, exactly. But IGN just pays for it because they got that Per Schneider money, and there they go. This is IGN reporting. Nintendo is reportedly looking to expand its mobile operations beyond its current partnership with the DNA by working with more mobile developers in the hopes of, quote, raising the pace, end quote, of new mobile titles after last year's mobile revenue fell short of expectations, also in quotes. As reported by the Wall Street Journal, Nintendo's original intention was to produce 5 smartphone games with DNA by March 2017 after it bought a 10% stake in the company back in 2015. As of right now, it has only introduced 4 after Animal Crossing Pocket Camp launched last month. Nintendo executives insist their focus is not on squeezing more revenue from the mobile games themselves, but using those games to introduce mobile gamers to Nintendo properties in hopes of converting them to console or handheld titles. Traditional gaming is still considered a central tenet at Nintendo.
That's kind of weird in a way. Like, I feel like only Nintendo would say that. Most other people would be like, let's just try and shift them over to whatever one they're willing to spend money
exactly.
on.
Exactly. And I believe that's probably the case here.
Okay.
I think that's like, okay, but it's also like, then why isn't Animal Crossing Pocket Camp paired and give me something in an Animal Crossing game on Switch?
Like,
why isn't Mario
Club?
Run? Hey, Super Mario Odyssey's out. Super Mario Run now. You can do this and you get 4 additional moons that you can link through your
Nintendo
account.
Exactly, exactly. It's like, it just makes me think anecdotally about how I remember I had like an 8th grade teacher or something that had written into one of the shows, and they had been talking about how he was talking to his kids about playing games, and they're like, oh, you play on console? You're so old.
Really?
Like, because they're just like all mobile.
Oh,
and
wow.
And so it's like
gross.
The idea of, yeah, I just feel like, you know, like, it could be that there will be a generational thing at some point just because these are children who have literally grown up with like a mobile phone or something or a tablet.
Well, this is, you know, when they put out the stats of, you know, whatever, and there's 70% of everyone alive is a gamer, they mean that they play stuff on their mobile, which we as console people usually scoff at, right?
Sure.
Whereas in the same way, mobile gamers scoff at consoles. There's going to be a tipping point, yeah, where I feel like everyone's going to know what video games are and have played video games, but yeah. It will be that they played them on iPad and then never made that jump to something else.
Totally, but I just don't think, it's like, to go back to our original point, it's just like, Nintendo, they want their money wherever they can get their money.
Of course,
I feel
yeah.
like that. If they convert you, I guess that'd be cool, but I doubt that. I feel like the conversion rate of that's got to be so small.
And that's why I call bullshit in the quote, is that the fact that the games aren't cross-promoting and aren't making me go out and do that. Like, don't get me wrong, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp has my Nintendo ID, which is a nice thing. Okay, cool. Maybe it talks about different devices. It means, I think, smartphone to smartphone or iPad or stuff like that.
Sure.
Maybe hopefully when next Animal Crossing comes to Switch, there'll be something there. But the fact that it's not there and the fact that they bought 10% of the company in 2015, Nintendo was in a way different position in 2015. And I think buying that stake, worrying about mobile, was very much like,
the Wii is doing so bad.
Let's start, you know, filling the coffers that way. Let's start having an exit plan in case we have to go the Sega route and we do leave and we do just publish third party. And
yeah.
Then Switch came and it was amazing. And everyone's like, yeah, like, what about the mobile games? Like, fuck the mobile games. Nobody liked Mario Run. It's great. Yeah, I was talking about how it just underperformed. And now Animal Crossing's out, but it's not the Animal Crossing people really, really want. I'm still playing it like a psychopath. But
yeah,
it's
really?
Snowed. It snowed. Their gardening's coming soon. I got pretty stoked about that.
What stops you like playing that instead of just going back to like the 3DS one or something like that?
I don't want to care. I don't have my 3DS with me at all times. Animal Crossing is strictly that. Oh, man, like I'm in the Uber home, or I'm waiting between shows, or we come out here. Like, it's just a great game to pop in and do something for 5 seconds. And I've never had. I don't play mobile games often. But even when I played like Game Dev Story, and I was super into that, I've never had a game in my life I run so hot and so cold on. Where there's like days where I'm like, I gotta get in here. I'm trying to, I have a great idea to build the fucking shaggin' wagon in this thing. I want to do that. And then like, I didn't touch it at all during PSX, except for when somebody else would be playing like, oh, can we be friends? Like, oh yeah, sure. And added my code.
Sure, sure, sure.
But like, I haven't jumped back. It hasn't, what it was is on, I guess, Monday when we were chilling out and I entered some codes, there was an announcement in there and I was like, oh, Joey, they're adding gardening and they're doing this and oh, we're gonna be able to craft clothes. It's like, they're putting enough carrots out there that I'm pretty stoked to get in there and have that stupid stuff happen. But I'm also, you know, I've only put $3 into it ever. And that was at the very beginning to see what it was like. And I like it a lot. I like it a lot knowing it's a bad game. It's not a good game. It's not Animal Crossing. But
sure.
I'm excited to see where it goes. And it's always there when I want to just kill some time.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see if it goes anywhere. Like if they want to develop those deeper systems and bring it closer to a real Animal Crossing.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if they're
yeah.
just going to eventually, yeah, just leave it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the hope would be that, yeah, they somehow... That's my campsite, and then in Animal Crossing Switch, I have my house, and you can go between them, do something different there.
Yeah, I earned some coins that I could have on my Nintendo account. Like
bells.
That would be Bell. Sorry.
Hey, come on. Don't be fucking this up.
I have never been much of an Animal Crossing player, and Crossing player, and it's not because I don't like it. I totally love games about farming and stuff. It's just that I can't.
You can only do so much.
I don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, exactly.
I hear the stories of people, and I have already so many 100+ hour games that I'm like,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got to pick your battles. Final story of the day for news. The Game Awards were huge this year. Shout out to Jeff Keighley. 11.5 million viewers around the world. That is an uptick of 202%. 3.8 million viewers watched in 2016. Did you watch?
I mostly just watched the trailers after the fact.
Sure. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's an interesting uptick. I mean, 202% is amazing, but it's also, I think, just the fact that Jeff's so great at getting on so many different platforms and having it streaming everywhere.
Well, and like people, me and Tim were talking about last week, you know, people were like, it seemed like it was this thing about all these new trailers and stuff, but those new trailers drove views as well. Like, you watch the Game Awards because outside of E3, and like, it's the place at the end of the year where you're going to actually get a new announcement.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
and that's, people give it such a bad rap. And I mean, don't get me wrong, every time the Game Awards wraps, somebody wants to shit on it and be rude about it for some reason.
It's had some annoying things in the past.
Of course. Yeah.
But the nice thing is that he's always like he recognized it.
Yeah.
And straight up was posting on Reset Era talking about like, here's the things I know I fucked up on. You're like, oh, humility goes a long way.
Kevin, the doorbell rang. That could be the kegerator. Is anybody moving on the door? We're waiting on a kegerator here. I don't want to miss this kegerator.
No, I know.
But no, the fact that Jeff does care, and I feel like he gets a bad rap for that too. But I mean, same way, anybody who makes anything on the internet gets shit on for some reason.
Well, and especially if you're not only making something on the internet, but it's also a business for you.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing people seem to forget is like, Jeff does this as a passion project, but he can't just be like, I want to make it the coolest thing ever and just for the gamers. It's like, I also have to afford a venue and afford to fly people and afford all these things.
Well, that's why I think he's done such a great job with it in terms of, you know, 2016. I thought since the Spike TV part of it left and Jeff got to build this award show, he's gotten closer and closer to making it the award show I think we're all happy with. And I would say that, honestly, I think this year was the best one he's done. I was super happy with it. And I think that comes from, you know, too, at 2016 when, like, Kyle Bosman was like interviewing the Chick Hydro Man or whatever. You're like, oh, like that's not playing the way it should. And that's when it was like, that's a kind of gross advertising thing.
Sure.
Not the Kyle part, just the Hydro Man being weird and out of place in this award show that we were trying to make serious, in quotes, as serious as video games need to be.
Sure. And it's the same thing. Like even E3 press conferences, there's been like, not everyone gets it right.
Oh, yeah.
I've watched Sony ones where I was like, they killed it. And then I've watched Sony ones that I was just like, oh man, like please someone just turn off the TV. It's so hard to watch.
Yeah. Like, and even this year, I felt like it went on way too long. And maybe that might be me sitting in the audience being like, I'm so fucking thirsty and cold right now, but I don't want to get up and, you know, miss something or do it. I like the juxtaposition of there's the awards and then there are the trailers and the announcements and something cool there. But that's just me. And apparently though, 11.5 million.
A lot of people agree with you.
Yeah, we'll see. Anthony.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm stoked for Predator to come to Ghost Recon Wildlands, but that's all the way tomorrow. If I want to know what came to the digital mom and pop shops today, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the kind of funny Games Daily host each and every weekday.
Do, 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 yeah.
Out today. Super Hydora for PS4 and Vita. Don't know anything about that one.
No, me neither, but
it's, I don't often see games on the list that I'm like, no clue.
What I appreciate about it, though, is that they're like, nobody knows anything about us, so let's go on Wednesday. There'll be a million games out on Tuesday on the PSN. We'll go on Wednesday.
Night in the Woods, Xbox One.
Oh.
That's that. Yeah, good.
Did you play it? Did you like it?
That was one that I sadly missed this year.
But I started it on PlayStation 4 and enjoyed it, but then it was the normal thing. I just got sidetracked, something else played.
Yeah, it came out in a pretty busy time for me, and by busy time, I mean, I think it was like when I was... I still am, but I was like deep, deep, deep in the Battlegrounds time. Everything else got erased.
Sure.
Final Fantasy 15, Episode Ignis. Is it sad that I had to sit there and think about those Roman numerals?
No, I do it all the time,
too.
Where I was like, fuck, is this 14 or is this 15?
Xbox One, PS4. Desert Golfing. PC.
Yeah.
Stationeers. That's really exciting for me. I've been watching and keeping up with Dean Hall. That's the game. It's from Rocketworks, which is Dean Hall's company that he made
DayZ,
after he left Bohemia. After he worked on DayZ with Bohemia. So he's no longer associated with DayZ. He's just doing his own thing. Stationeers looks really cool.
Tell me all about it. Well, I didn't know about it. I just added
I'm build, You're building like basically space stations and facilities out in space. And it's got a little bit of that Minecraft vibe in the sense that you're hooking up very complex machinery and making sure that your circuitry works correctly and stuff like that. And literally just the ability to build out and explore these worlds and build these really complex facilities. Like, that is not something that probably appeals to everyone.
Yeah.
But it's like that same part of me that, like, when I hear about, like, I actually tried a really complex, it's on PSN stuff now too, that like fishing game that's there. It's like a fishing simulator. It's like World of Fishing, I think is what it's called, or something like that.
Okay.
A really complex fishing game where it has like really hardcore mechanics, even with the lures and stuff. I was interested in that because I enjoyed games that dive a little bit deeper.
Well, you like processing games. You loved FTL, right? Like,
yeah,
I mean, everybody loved FTL, but you were really into FTL.
Yeah, and
you liked Kerbal Space Program a lot,
Kerbal Space Program, yeah, which is like more of like a simulation type thing. And I've actually gotten back into Rust recently, and that game has really upped its simulation. Like, you know, like, it used to be in Rust, you'd be like, I'm thirsty, and you would just eat something and it'd give you some water or something like that. Now in the game, I was like, oh, man, did we build our house near a river? Do we have jugs so I can go down and gather water? And people are like, we don't have to anymore. We got a rain catcher. And I was like, what? This game is crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I ate people last night in that game.
You ate people?
Yeah.
Did you kill, like, you killed other players and ate their bodies?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they've added cannibalism now. So on the server we play on, we definitely eat whoever.
Is it still you and Mitch and all?
It's some of the original crew. Because
you
night,
have like a gang of bandits that tortured people.
Yeah, we're starting up our own server. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm actually going to be tweeting out. We're going to have a private server that we're going to get going again, invite only, to get a bunch of people in to relive the dream.
So what did you see? You used to like run into people, hold them up, make them do stuff?
Yeah, for sure. We've done things like sold people into slavery. He got out eventually. we used to like make people like kill each other. One time I think we ran into Charles Lanyet and he didn't play the games and I didn't know it was Charles and we just murdered him. And like, but just like, you know, we were always messing with people. We'd make them eat raw chicken, which makes you throw up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, we'd give two friends one pistol and be like, kill your friend or else you both die. Like, it's a sociopath simulator.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun.
So last night, my friend took screenshots of me throwing out chunks of cooked human meat to all my friends below me on a platform because I had just finished cooking them up on the barbecue grill and then we all just consumed. And when we ran out of human meat, we all stripped down naked and got swords out and battled each other. So that we could then harvest the losers.
Gotcha.
So it's
Anthony Gaius looking for a job out there.
Let's see. And the last game that's on this list for out today is Battlefront Last Jedi DLC is out. Adds Finn and Captain Phasma, two maps and more. This completes the storyline. If you have finished, and I have played through recently, the Battlefront campaign, it ends on a
cliffhanger, right?
A cliffhanger, yeah, right? Yeah. So this is going to conclude that.
So this is Aiden, is that her name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it concludes her story.
Right. And so, you know, if you play through the campaign, it very much ends in a way that's like, I see where this is going. So
yeah,
it's going to be her
thing. Did you like the campaign?
I thought it was okay. I found the most disappointing part for me.
Because you're a big Star Wars fan.
I am a big Star Wars fan. And, you know, full disclosure, it's written by a friend of mine, Mitch Dyer. And
I know him too, but I guess I'm not friends.
Well,
you don't want to speak for me. I understand.
I assumed that you'd probably already said things like that previously.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Since I don't do the show all the time, I feel like I had.
Okay. I just point out. I know Mitch too. I know Walt.
Yeah, I know Walt as well.
I know Janina.
So, anyways, you know, like I thought it was okay, but the thing that I was a little disappointed was originally when they proposed the story, I thought it was the story of like these basically hardcore Imperials that were basically like the SS, if we're being honest, like the way they're portrayed. Like, they're the most insane Imperials of the Imperials. And it was just going to be their story. And so when I started playing missions, light spoilers, that you play as like movie characters, I was a little bit like, oh, suddenly I'm not playing like their story. Now, granted, those heroes interface with those characters like tertiary, like on the side, and you're like, ah, it still kind of links back. But I was a little disappointed that it wasn't like
their
story the whole time. We don't need to worry about the movie characters. We want to tell this original Star Wars tale about these characters and only these characters. And I was a little disappointed by that. But I still thought it was... What it does really well is it does link back into the films and do a little bit of character development for, like, Luke. And you see, like... I think there's a little allusions in there. You're going to see how he ended up being the guy that he is in The Last Jedi that seems disillusioned and stuff like that. And
okay.
It's reestablishing certain characters. And, like, the books have been doing that too, the new books. Of making Luke that, you know, in the old books, the legends, now Luke legends. Became like the most crazy force wielder that he might as well have been Yoda, or even more powerful than Yoda with the things he could do. And in the new books, it very much treats Luke like someone that doesn't really know what he's doing, and he's trying to figure out what he wants.
Stupid farm boy can't figure
out. And yes, and he's just like, the Force is not all-powerful. Like, when Luke goes and swims underwater, he comes up, he's like gasping for air, whereas in the later books, he's like, I just use the Force to bolster my lungs so that I could stay underwater for 30 minutes and just all kinds of crazy crap. So, anyways, it's all right.
How excited are you for tomorrow, for to go see the new one?
Pretty excited. I mean, if people are always surprised that I'm not like screaming out of my chair because I have like Star Wars tattoos and all that shit.
Yeah.
The thing is, for me, is when they announced Episode 7 and I saw the very first trailer, I was like super excited because I was like, it is new Star Wars.
Yeah.
Now, though, we get new Star Wars every year.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep that level of like 10, like, oh, geez, it's so crazy. I'm always stoked. I'm always going to be there day one. Like, if I was employed, I would have taken tomorrow off. But I always have every year since the new Star Wars Rogue One. I always take the day off and I go sit in the movie theater the whole day, just like I did to watch movies when I was like 20. So,
wait, what do you mean you sit there the whole day? You mean you see it over and over and over?
Like, no, I don't get assigned seating. I literally go and line up super early for like the line experience and spend all day in line. Like last year I was playing like a Star Wars card game with my friend. You know, it's the tradition we've had
forever.
That's
awesome.
So I still go do that sort of stuff, but it's just, yeah. And by all accounts, this movie sounds really awesome. So I'm very excited for it, but yeah, not like sky high in the same way that I used to be.
That's fair. I was just checking in. Got some new dates for you. Xenon Valkyrie Plus comes to Vita on Tuesday. Street Fighter 20th Anniversary Collection is coming in May 2018 for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC. It's $40. Here's every game in it.
Wow.
Street Fighter, Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Championship, or no, Champion Edition. Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting, including online play. Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter 2, The New Challengers. Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, including online play. Street Fighter Alpha. Street Fighter Alpha 2. Street Fighter Alpha 3, including online play. Street Fighter 3. Street Fighter 3 Second Impact. Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, including online play. Thank you to Reset Aerith, where I grabbed that list off of... I watched the trailer, obviously.
Yeah.
They had it all listed out already.
It's funny that, like, you know, if it was me and someone was like, make our... You know, hey, Anthony, can you just make our Super Street Fighter compilation? I'd be like... Shouldn't we just take the most recent version of whatever? Like, yeah, we just want to put Turbo Edition of Street Fighter 2, Third Strike of
this
Street
is
Fighter
celebrating 20 years.
Well, that's just it. So many people are like, I specifically like this because they tweaked the hitboxes on this guy between one and this. So, like, it is just beyond my understanding of, like, my appreciation, I should say. Like, yeah, how much people really want a specific version. What's up?
That's kind of funny that compilation you're on. 20 year, right? Is it not 30 years?
It says 20th anniversary. That's what
it's there. Did I fuck that up or did I copy it?
1998, that makes sense. Wait, 1998, no, it seems like it has to be way earlier.
Yeah, it's got
to
be, it's 30 years, right?
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know who fucked that up, me or Reset, but I'll blame myself. 30 year anniversary.
Wow.
Metal Gear Survive has resurfaced as well. It's going to get a beta January 18th through the 21st on PS4 and Xbox, and then coming out February 22nd, 2018.
Does Kevin actually feel that way?
No, Kevin doesn't feel that way. Yeah. Okay. It's going to be interesting because what the reaction is and how much of a fair shake that game. It won't get a fair shake. But
I feel like that game's going to go the way of that Resident Evil online multiplayer game where you it was like a co-op thing against zombies and it was really, really terrible.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was called Resident Evil, but we all buried it.
Well, they put out, there's like a 6-minute or 8-minute developer diary thing out today about it where they're like walking through the single player campaign. Like, it's a spinoff to Metal Gear Solid 5. And it's just like,
maybe it can, I doubt, I just feel like, well, I guess this will be the test. Does a non-Kojima Metal Gear, how much does it really matter? It matters, obviously, but will it translate into like 80% less sales, 20% less sales?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see for sure. Deals of the day for you. The Great Tale of the Holiday Sale started on PSN. It goes on for multiple weeks. There's a million games discounted. Go look at them. I'm not going to list them all for you. I got things to do. Like, read Asher, a.k.a. Darth Musician, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD.
That's a weak Darth name, by the way.
Darth Musician?
Yeah.
Asher says, hey, Greg and Anthony. So PlayStation is having an awesome deal this week just in time for the holidays. The Gran Turismo PSVR bundle is only $199. I immediately thought of how amazing this deal is, especially after finally getting to try PSVR for the first time at PSX this weekend. I was all ready to pull the trigger on PSVR at least until I did some research on the deal. It turns out that the reason it is so cheap is because the PSVR model included in the bundle is actually the older version, the one that doesn't support HDR pass-through. Now, normally, I don't care too much about these things, but I recently upgraded to a 4K TV and a PlayStation 4 Pro and have been absolutely blown away by the quality of 4K HDR graphics. I'd hate to lose out on HDR functionality on my new TV in order to use PSVR. So, this makes me consider forking the extra cash for the newer model. In fact, the extra cost has swayed me so much that I'm actually considering getting Xbox One S instead, since they're also on sale right now and around the same price point of $200. I'm primarily a PlayStation gamer, and I've yet to own an Xbox One. I had a 360 forever ago, but I'd love to try out some highly rated Xbox exclusives like Cuphead, Gears of War, and most recently PUBG, to name a few. What do you guys think? Is the older model of PlayStation VR worth it at that low, low price of $199? Or should I pony up the extra cash and buy a newer model? Or should I just skip PSVR now and buy an Xbox One S instead? Love to hear your thoughts on this. Keep up the great work.
Well, it's tough. I mean, it's funny that he talks about having the HDR, like he has to give it up. Really, you don't. It just means you have to actually go back there and swap the cables. Ass,
right? Like last night, I turned on the Xbox to install PUBG and play, and it was that thing of go to input 3. Oh, fuck, input 3's got the switch in. Gotta get up there, pull out the cord, put in the Xbox.
Or you could get a switcher. Yeah, a switcher too. Like literally, you could just push the buttons and then it could pop between the two.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like, you know, it's thought process that I don't have.
I guess to me it's like I see it as really a non-issue. There are easy ways to get around that PSVR thing. Mm-hmm. To me, I just don't think VR is worth it at this point.
Really?
Like that's the sad thing. Even at $200, like I own a Vive. I bought it for $700.
Sure.
And but I just don't think that there's like the breadth of experiences on there that justify the expense of the piece of hardware at this point. Mm-hmm. $200 gets close, but it's like I don't. Like, I mean, yes, and they are continuing to support it. Sony is for now.
Yeah.
I could see in a year, though, that's not going to be the case. I don't know. Sony surprises me with how long they'll go on supporting things.
Yeah.
But I just feel like it, to me, getting that other system, an Xbox One S in that case, and having those extra experiences that you never got to do and that you probably won't get to do. I mean, Battlegrounds, that sounds like it will come to PlayStation at some point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it may just be like next fall.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I want to say reinvigorated for PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
In the way that it launched, it was super exciting, played all the launch games, and then put it down and really haven't touched it outside of a few Let's Plays here or there.
Sure.
And like, what I've been doing is stacking the games of like in my little VR folder of things I want to play that'll justify me like, okay, this is why I want to set it all up or move it all around. But then coming out of PSX and looking into 2018, like there's a lot of cool shit on the horizon for 2018 with like, I really want to play Moss. Like that's that game from the demo we got to do for E3. That's up on Kind of Funny Games right now, YouTube. I really enjoyed that. And then playing, I always fuck up the name, but Fire, whatever the fuck. Kevin, can you give me a Google search on that? PlayStation V. Go to the PlayStation blog. It's up right now. Sid and I talked about it on the blog cast, and then there's a preview up for it right now. PlayStation VR Fire something or other. Have you heard about this one?
Uh-uh.
It's a 4v4. PlayStation VR. Here we go. Scroll down, Kev. Oh, there it is. Firewall. Firewall Zero. Go all the way to the top again.
Yeah.
Firewall 0 hour.
Yes. I saw the with like the really complex like breaching and
right.
Kind of looks it looks like first person Rainbow Siege in a way.
Exactly. It looks just like that, and it reminded me a lot of Rainbow Six Vegas or whatever kind of thing. But yeah, like putting that on and like, all right, and, you know, I was like, oh, this, and this isn't an insult to other VR games, I hope. This feels like a real game. Like, this is something me and Andy were playing and having a great time. They're like, do you want to do one more? And we were both like, yes. Yes.
The real game thing is a thing that I think about all the time. Like, I've played very few things that I think of as like, here's like my $50 or $60 experience. A lot of it, you're like, that was an interesting 15-minute tech demo that like I would like to see fleshed out into like a bigger thing. So that's the reason I'm most worried about VR stuff these days.
As somebody who's covered PlayStation right for a decade and has seen them, here's the Move. Oh, fuck, don't support the Move. Here's the Vita. Oh, fuck, don't support the Vita. The fact that it was, here's VR. It went a year, and then it was quiet. It's been quiet, and the indies have been supporting it, right? And then this would be... We've already done 1 year, so we're in year two. So year two and a half, here comes a whole bunch of other shit to actually play. And like Accounting Plus, like I was laughing so hysterically at that trailer. I'm like, I gotta fucking play that.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, if you can get it and $200 is not like breaking the bank for you, just obviously you understand that it's actually going to be more like $400 probably because you're going to end up buying a bunch of games
yeah.
and stuff like that. If that's cool to you, like just go out there and find curated lists. There are totally curated lists of like, here's the absolute must play things. Yeah. You know, and
I was talking to Tim in 2018. I want to do more with PlayStation VR in particular, because it's just the one we have a Vive, but I can't use a Vive at home, whereas I can use a PlayStation 4.
Yeah, totally. I'm very fortunate that I have a dedicated Vive space.
All that said, if there's enough Xbox exclusives for you to play, buy that. I mean, it all comes down to look at the lineup for PlayStation VR, look at the lineup for Xbox One, and decide which one you're going to get the most use out
of. Also, do you still have a functioning 360? If not, then like the Xbox One also supports all those games.
Yeah, the backwards compatibility is amazing, right? So, I do want to talk about PUBG with you, yeah. Mr. PUBG.
Yeah.
And so that'll answer some of your questions as well, Asher. So we're going to switch over to reader mail. But before we get to the questions, I want to remind you that this episode is brought to you by Lisa in Omaha Steaks. Two great gifts for the holidays. Why do I say this? Because Lisa, of course, is where you order an online mattress. They ship it to your door, compressed in a box. Then you take it out, and it goes, and inflates. Now, you might say, that's a bad gift, but I say no, sir. It is a gift times three. Number one, you and your partner get an amazing mattress. Number two, the kids get to walk in the room, see this mattress inflate, they'll think it's amazing. Number three, there's a box for your cat to play in.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not. It actually comes in a surprisingly small box, so it is, like you said, a cat box.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I remember my parents got like a washer and dryer. It was awesome having those gigantic boxes.
Oh, sure, for kids to play in. Yeah,
that was amazing.
Yeah, no. That's something I think about with all the cardboard in my house right now, that when we have kids, like, I'm going to make awesome cardboard forts for them. You know what I mean? It'll be great. But back to Lisa thing. It's a mattress. It's great. They ship it to your door. It's compressed. It's easy. You get a 100-night sleep trial. You can sleep on it. See if you like it. If you don't like it, they'll take it back. They'll refund your money. Everybody has a good time. I went to a mattress store. It sucked. I didn't like the people there. I didn't like the pressure of it. I like instead...
lay down in front of me. Always a weird thing.
Joey Noel sleeps on this mattress and loves it. That's all you need to know. They got one ringing endorsement from Kind of Funny. You can get your mattress from them, starting at $525, but you get $100 off right now by going to lisa.com/kindoffunny and enter the promo code kindoffunny. That's LEESA.com/kindoffunny. Promo code kindoffunny, all one word. Second sponsor, Omaha Steaks. Kevin, do we love Omaha Steaks? That's a yes.
Yeah.
We made the Extra Life meal. I sent it to my dad for Christmas because me and my dad don't understand each other, and he sent it back to me because he liked it so much, showing how much he enjoyed it. And he was very impressed that meat could be shipped across the United States, and you know,
and stay awesome. Yeah, I mean, it seems like you'd never like did a Portillo shipment or something when you were.
Oh, he
him.
Ships it to me all the time, but I'm not going to ship my dad Portillos. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, but he didn't. That didn't get him.
Well,
the concept
I mean, like when
meat,
my dad ships me anything, right? It's really him asking his wife to send me something. He doesn't know what's happening.
Okay.
Dad used Skype once and was just like, "What is this? What is this magic?" You know what I mean? Like, all right. But back to Omaha Steaks. For $49.99, you can get my family gift pack. That's 75% off the real price. What do you get? You get two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tarlets, one Omaha Steaks seasoning packet, plus four additional kielbasas for free. I can speak to this. I love the kielbasas. They were among my favorite things off the Omaha Steak thing.
But the filet mignons?
Oh, they were great, too. I mean, well, the steak you expect to be great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can go back and watch our Extra Life stream somewhere probably and see us eating this meat. You go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code, KFGames, in the search bar. Get the 75% off. That's KFGames, all one word, at omahasteaks.com. Some people can't get it to work on mobile. Use a more traditional device.
Yeah.
Like a computer, where you can also play hot games like Minesweep and Clippy. Hey, the Minesweeper's got to still be out there, no?
Yeah, I'm sure it is, but Clippy?
Well, who's rebooting Ski Free? That's what I want to know. Sean from Virginia writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Kevin, turn the stopwatch into a clock. He also says, loving PUBG on Xbox. My first chicken dinner was dedicated to Kind of Funny Games Daily. Hi, Greg and Anthony. As I only game on consoles, Kind of Funny stories and discussions sparked an interest in PUBG on Xbox. So much so that I purchased the new version last night. I had no idea what I was doing, no clue about the controls, aiming, using attachments, etc., as I rarely play shooters and never play online games. However, the gameplay was tense and immersive, and I am astonished to report that on my second attempt, I was able to win my first chicken dinner.
That's crazy.
Yeah, a lot of people on their first games were getting it. I audibly yelled in elation, nearly waking up the three sleeping children, and, most impressively, the achievement drew muted curiosity from my wife rather than the usual eye roll. I'm hearing in the press that the game is not well optimized for Xbox, suffering frame rate drops and poor textures, but to me, the experience was truly one of a kind. Have either of you checked it out on Xbox, and could PUBG on Xbox be a truly transformative exclusive, drawing in people like me who would never normally play the game? Really love what y'all do. Sean from Virginia. Have you played on Xbox?
I have not yet.
Yeah.
But it suffering from frame drops and poor textures doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I mean, I played on a machine that is probably on par with an Xbox One X in most respects. In some cases, not. But even people I know who have, like, the craziest top-of-the-line computers, they still run into performance issues, right? So the fact that it's running into performance issues on Xbox One X, especially when it's part of their game preview program.
It's game preview, and it was night one. Like, yes. I was surprised it ran, period. Yeah. Let alone that, yeah, when I jumped in and played, as soon as it boots up, it was like, whoof.
But it's the same thing on, when March, when I played it on PC, at first I was like, why is anyone playing this? It runs so bad.
Yeah.
And then I had my first couple of rounds that I kept going with, and I was like, it is exactly what this guy said. It's a super tense thing. There's nothing else that offered that sort of experience out there at the time. There are other competitors now.
Yeah.
But it's tense experience combined with the way that it does, like, bullet velocity and actually has bullet drop and stuff. There is nothing else out there like that. And so I do think that it could see a ton of success on Xbox for exactly the same reason. Like, yes, you were running into these issues, but you were, like, hooked because the gameplay is great. The design is really good, and you experienced, like, tell me that feeling you had when you won that chicken dinner was like, have you ever felt that way from winning a match in any shooter ever before? Probably not. I know I haven't. No shooter has ever made, like, maybe if I played a shooter and I was playing, like, in a tournament situation for thousands of dollars, I would get the same heart pounding. But otherwise, like, when I get into one-on-one fights with people in Battlegrounds, still, like, 9 months later, I sometimes will feel afterwards, and I can feel my heart literally pounding in my chest that hard because it's that tense to fight a person. Like, no response. It just makes a huge difference.
100%. And, well, it's because it's that thing of, I jumped in last night, played, I don't know, 5 or 6 rounds before I switched over to do some Destiny, then everybody's golf, just because I was in the mood to get around. And it reminded me immediately of, oh, right, this is the, I really loved this on PC.
Yeah.
And it's that thing where we did a bunch of Let's Plays and just horsed around at the office here with it. And so to get home last night, turn it on, and hear, like, oh, whoa, it's this, that, and the other. And, of course, the PC snobbery on the Twitter space of, oh, it's this, so why would I even play this one? Turn it on and jump in, and it was, like, even in the loading thing, like, there's, like, everything's just, like, blocky and muted, like, ugh. And then the plane was going, and it was, ugh. And it's not there yet. It needs a whole bunch of optimization. But it was, I jumped out, and I got on the ground, and it was immediately, as I'm coming down to my parachute, oh, fuck, that guy's going to the same house, clearly that I am, fuck, and running around, getting stuff, and trying to learn the controls again. Like, I remember how clunky it is on PC, but then to move it to a PC or a controller for the first time, me playing it on a controller, I'm trying to figure out how to do this, how to do that, blah, blah, blah. But figuring it all out and getting there, and, like, I think the farthest I got last night was 15, like, which is not
respectable.
Bad. Yeah, exactly. And it was, you know, I play, of course, like the camping coward I am, where it's like the thing encroaches and I just move a little bit and I'm, like, hiding behind a tree.
I'm right on the edge.
I just need to watch this side. And sure enough, I looked behind, there was, like, smoke grenade went off. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm dead. I'm like, God damn. But it is that. Fuck, this is awesome. This is so much fun. And it's learning to play. It's got its own feel and vibe, which is so different and weird, I guess, to say. Because I started off and I was like, man, I've played not a bunch, but enough Fortnite since I played PUBG on computers. So to pick it back up, it was that initial thing of just like, well, Fortnite feels better. Like, Fortnite feels like way more
technically competent.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly. But then it was that I haven't had these moments already in Fortnite where it is like, usually I see somebody, I try to, again, cowardly build myself into a corner so they don't know where I am, but I always get killed.
Well, Fortnite has a little bit more of a vibe of, like, Quake in a way with its speed and the combat. A lot of times you're like, you see people, like, jumping and they're shooting shotguns at each other and stuff and literally firing rockets. I mean, you can literally jump on a rocket and ride a rocket in that game. Like, it's much more over the top. And Battlegrounds still, like, just like with the ballistics they have and the way they model it, it just feels, it is hard enough to kill someone that it feels really good when you actually pull it off.
Yeah.
And I think someone else that, was talking about, why does it feel really good to kill someone? I feel like someone once told me that every person you kill in Battlegrounds is a loot box. And it's true. You get to open a loot box every time you kill someone, you know? Mm. And eventually when you get high enough skill,
because you're saying you run over there and go through their stuff.
Yeah, and you're like, what do they have? Because that might have, like, I've had games that have been won or lost based on the fact that I killed someone late game and I had no meds. And, like, all of a sudden I was like, dude, that dude just gave me the win because I have all these meds now, or I didn't have the scope that I desperately needed, and I just got lucky to luck into that. And so there is, like, that exhilaration of going down and looting someone every time. You know, I think that that's, like, something that can't be underestimated. And eventually you'll get good enough to the point where now when I see someone, I can spot what they have at a distance based on their silhouette, and I'm like, ooh, I'm not going to headshot him because I want his level 3 helmet. So I'm going to go for body shots on him. So when I take him down, I know that I can take
You're
that
a psychopath.
Helmet.
That was the thing that was funny about last night is like one of the first games I got the shotgun. I'm like, great. This other guy had a machine gun and he ran in and it was like, I came around the corner and shot and he did that thing where you're like, boop, teleported over there. Yeah. I'm like, oh, fuck this goddamn laggy ass game. Come back and hide. And then we were just doing this crazy thing. And it was like, a lot to go in PUBG, but I remember when PUBG did originally launch and it was a train wreck and people are doing it.
Yeah. And it still has a long ways to go even on PC.
Yeah.
But obviously they have the money and they're continuing to ramp up studios to keep working on it. So I don't think that's like, it's not like, even like when the game hits 1.0 very shortly while you guys are on Christmas break.
Yeah.
1.0 is not going to be like, all right,
it's
shipped
a real
it.
Perfect game.
We're done now.
Yeah. It's golden launching, dude.
Yeah.
Hypnotoad writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, we've all heard the speculation. There's no way Nintendo keeps up this pace. They blew their load in the Switch's first year of games and saw incredible sales. Now, we're going to see a sharp decline. He's basically quoting Andrea from yesterday. But I see a big wrinkle in that theory. Recent history shows that things may be more complicated than exclusive games equal sales. The PS4 had a relatively slim first year of exclusive games. Knack, Killzone, Infamous, and even year two didn't light the world on fire. LB3, LBP3, and Bloodborne. So what's your take? Considering that the PS4 was so light on exclusive games in the first 2 years and still flew off shelves, how was Sony able to accomplish it, and does it correlate with where Nintendo will be with the Switch in the coming year? What can Nintendo do to keep the pace?
So I think he's limiting himself a little bit when I read this, thinking that when he thinks of its first year of exclusive games only being Sony first party, because there were other, like actually I worked on two games that were exclusive to console on both Sony and they were out in the first year and they were only on Sony. So there were a lot of indie studios that were putting out indie content only, and like it may come to PC, but it was, if you want it on console, it was only on Sony. And I think the same thing's going on with the Switch. There's like things like Snipper Clips, you're not playing that anywhere else.
Sure.
So it's like there are games that are coming to it that like you realize like, oh, this is the place to play that. Like I think that some of these indie games too, like have been out again in places like PC and some of them even on PSN, but I think it's just like they are seeing a lot of new life on that console. And I think that it's just people getting excited. I mean, people are excited about the idea to take these games with them.
Yep.
As weird as that is, as weird as it seems like.
Well, I mean, it's that idea of when I go home and I sit down in front of the PlayStation 4, I want not even an exclusive. I want a game that is defined by the TV and online connectivity and teraflops and whatever the fuck, right? So it is, I'm playing PUBG with 99 other people, or I'm running around with Friday the 13th and I'm voice chatting, I'm gonna do all these different things. So when I wanna jump into something on my PlayStation and I look over and I see Stardew Valley, it's like, well, Stardew Valley is great, but I could easily play that on the Switch when I'm on the plane.
Exactly. Now you can take Stardew Valley with you. And that's like makes like a huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, what they need to do to keep the pace is what you're talking about, is have indies there like they did this year. Have tentpole exclusives that are going to drive people. But the one thing that they don't have that PlayStation 4 had at the launch of the PlayStation 4 and through year two was, hey, here are awesome third-party AAA games. And that's what we're not going to see, I don't think this year, at least not in droves, of, hey, Ubisoft's put out this, Assassin's Creed Black Flag was on PlayStation 4 at launch. And that game was so fucking good.
That's true. I forgot about that. Yeah, that was a PlayStation game to me. Even though it was out on Xbox One, I thought of that as a PlayStation.
And that's where PlayStation made up so much ground, and where I think coming in, we were like, oh man, the exclusive lineups are weak. But it was the fact that come fall, people are putting amazing games out that are third party. So they're on Xbox as well. They're on PC as well. But you already bought the PlayStation for these exclusives. So there's something there for you.
And I think Nintendo can also keep up that pace by finding more companies that want to do HD re-releases on the handheld. Like things like L.A. Noire and stuff like that. Like, I didn't think I'd be excited for L.A. Noire again, but then it being, again, where I can take it with me, I'm like, I would maybe play through the entirety of L.A. Noire again, which is a really good game and everyone should play it.
For me, that's like the Switch with Skyrim, right? Of like, okay, cool. It's on Switch and it's on PSVR. PSVR for me is, sure, I'd love to pop in and see how it runs and what it looks like, and that's neat. Switch is like, yeah, you know what? I might make a new character this next week when I'm at home in Chicago watching TV with mom.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, that's a great, that is with me. It's an open world RPG. I can go out and quest and do whatever and come back and be done with it. It'll be interesting. I don't think they can keep the pace they have now.
Yeah.
I don't think they can replicate this year, but I don't think they're going to completely fall off and nobody's going to want it. I think it is going to be that, hey, we have awesome indie stuff that's coming. Owlboy is still coming at some point, right?
Like, right,
I can't
right,
wait
right.
for that. And I know that, again, that's been something that's on PC, but no, I'll wait for it and have it whenever I want to go somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nintendo is set up for success at this point. They have enough games that have, now that the system sold 10 million to,
yeah.
you are going to start getting more third party who yeah, are like,
people can't
okay,
ignore it.
It is worth our time.
Exactly. James Whalebait 99 Krill writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can and should, and says, not necessarily a question to be read on the show, but a suggestion. Too bad, motherfucker. When there's traffic outside the office and car horns are honking and stuff like that, could you just mention that it's happening, please? I listened to the show on my car, and a couple of days ago, I was sure I had a handful of angry drivers right behind me. Thanks, whale bait. Not all right, good. All right, cool. We can do that. We can do that. That's fair. That's fair. Because when the sirens are going off, I have seen that
I
before.
Just heard bells. A bell's from the Muni.
I will not call out when the Muni rings its bell.
Okay. Because
I think that's a pretty unique San Francisco thing. But when there are the honks and the screaming, hey, Spider-Man, we'll call that one out there, friend. Final question of the day goes to Doug. Doug says, what's good, Greg and Anthony? I've been waiting to ask this question when there is a developer co-hosting. So here it goes. Why are a large majority of studios located in some of the most expensive cities to live in the country? As an aspiring game developer, I can't imagine taking my wife and son to live in one of those cities. Why don't development studios work out of smaller cities where the cost of living is much lower? Thank you for all your hard work, Doug.
Some do. You can live in Raleigh, North Carolina if you want to work at a place like Boss Key or Epic, or even Insomniac has a studio there. The guys that make Smite... and High Res is the name of the studio, and they work out of Georgia. So there's a lot of... I forget it,
and you can correct me, but like Gunn and Ilphonic, the people who are doing...
They're in Colorado.
Yeah, one of them I thought was in Kentucky, or I'm thinking of somebody else, but yeah.
And it's like, and so like there are, you can find it. Like Madison, Wisconsin, I believe that's where the new PUBG studio is.
One of the PUBG Corp studios.
I think Raven is still out in Wisconsin as well. So... it's not that they don't exist. It's that he's saying, yeah, like you said, though, the vast majority is because if I'm working for a studio and I work in the game industry, which obviously is very volatile, do I want to move to Madison, Wisconsin or Champaign, Illinois, which is where the Saints Row guys
Saints
are?
Row, yeah.
And it's like, if I move to Champaign, Illinois and something were to happen to that studio, I've bought a house. My skills are game designer. What am I going to do?
Yep.
Like now there's no other jobs to work at. So yes, you move to these really expensive places because there's a ton of people working at jobs, tech industry, it raises the price. But at the same time, you're there because when the bottom falls out, there are 40 places you can apply to rather than zero or one.
What are the big ones now? Because I feel like SF isn't as big as it used to be.
Yeah,
right?
SF is a big mobile market, I would say, at this point. There's less big. I mean, even EA Red Retours is still there, but it seems like they've scaled down operation. I mean, they got rid of Visceral. And so I would say at this point, a lot of them are...
LA, right?
LA still has a pretty big scene. There's like a bunch of big studios down there. And obviously Activision's located there. And then it's a lot of Canadian cities.
Yeah.
Vancouver, Montreal, Toronto, like all those cities have definitely blown up. And I think a lot of it's because they're tax places. But I also think that within the next 10 years, we'll see places like North Carolina and stuff blow up because the reason I think North Carolina is big is if I remember it, they do offer tax breaks because they're trying to lure in tech companies.
They put that Insomniac out there too.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like they want tech companies to come out because they want these places.
The way that works too, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the fact that, okay, cool, they do lay off staff or people have worked there long enough and want a new thing. They leave, but they found their own thing right there. Similar like what Cliff did with Boss Key, right?
Yeah.
Where, I'm living here because of Epic or whatever, and then breaks off and does something new.
Right.
And then other people go and do that, and you have this little thing. It's similar to how, like, what we've done, right? In terms of, like, all right, we leave IGN, but we stay in San Francisco. We make
right.
fun.
And, you know, and I feel like that's how game communities start. Like, I don't think that there was necessarily always a huge game community, like, of developers anywhere. But like it takes one studio going out there and then eventually maybe breaking up or maybe someone realizing, oh, that is a cheaper area. Let's move a second one out there and then a third.
Well, Austin, right? Like Austin's up and coming, I feel like. There's
Austin definitely has a ton at this point.
Yeah.
It used to have, I think it's like took a slight decline and then it's like gone back up. But, you know, it's also like Sacramento has game studios now. Like there are definitely places that are not the single most expensive place to live where you can find game studios. But again, it's always at the risk of you may have to move. That's the bottom line.
What would be the advice for Doug then? I feel like I know a lot of indie games seem to be like, I'm like, oh, where are you guys located? I'm like, oh, we're spread across the world. We have people doing this and doing that.
When you're first starting out, it's hard to find a studio that'll let you work remotely. But they do exist. Like a lot of the guys that work on The Long Dark and stuff, like they have remote staff because they're located in a kind of remote place in Canada.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, I think you should maybe swallow the fact that you may just, like, think about it in a, like, a two-year plan. We're going to go there for 2 years so that I can get experience and then bounce anywhere I want. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to go here and ship one game with Bungie and live up, you know, in the north where it's really busy and stuff and maybe more expensive. But, like, then we'll have that experience. Like, that's just the reality of it. Like,
sure.
Sadly, it's like we don't live in a place where your local hometown has a game studio. And even if it did, again, then you run the risk of if the bottom falls out,
what happens?
Are you going to go?
Move to Seattle. It's nice. Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in games. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays together and has fun. Ross writes in. He's on PlayStation 4. His PSN name is Roscoe Faye Moscow. That's R-O-S-S-C-O-F-A-E Moscow. Roscoe Faye Moscow says, "Hello, KFGD team. Greetings from Scotland.
Oi,
governor. I wasn't going to do it because you put a whole fucking paragraph in there explaining why I shouldn't say oi. And I was like, that's too much work. So oi, governor, motherfucker. Write shorter letters. These days, I find my online squad is dwindling and need of help to find kind of funny best friends. I've got lots of online buddies playing FIFA and GTA, but I'm more of a Destiny, Rocket League, Madden guy. I bought Overwatch, and while it's fun, none of my PSN buddies have it. So I've barely put any time into it and still haven't done the Destiny 2 raid or trials as I haven't been able to gather a full squad. And with Star Wars, The Last Jedi out this week, I expect I'll finally be caving into EA and buying Battlefront 2 as well. My username is Roscoe Faye Moscow on PlayStation 4. Side note, Faye is a Glaswegian way of saying from, and I'm not from Moscow.
Glaswegian.
So this is a dumb PSN name that I wish Shuhei would let me change. So for anyone playing Destiny 2, Battlefront 2, Overwatch, Rocket League, or Madden on PlayStation 4, add me. Thanks in advance for all your help. Keep up the good work, and happy holidays to all of the Kinda Funny crew, best friends, and your respective families. That's Roscoe Faye Moscow. A bad PSN name. Terrible. Terrible, Kevin.
Terrible.
Time for You're Wrong. Let's look at this dynamite list of what the fuck people, you better delete them if we didn't. You're kind of funny. Remember, it's your job if you're watching live to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Keep us honest. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody listening later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Capitalist Pig is first in and says Predator took place in a fictional country called Val Verde. It was created to set movies in South American countries without having to deal with political problems.
Okay.
Other movies and shows that use the setting are Commando, Die Hard 2, and Adventure Inc. Here's a whole bunch of people who just didn't want to listen and put in the same Predator thing. Current generation. You're just making me angry. BG2580. So delete your Twitter account. It's 30 years of Street Fighter. Yeah, we were right about that. Yeah. Varn says, forgot to mention that Titan Quest and its first expansion, Immortal Throne, is coming to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on March 20th, 2018, on Nintendo Switch in 2018.
Dang.
It'll cost $30 for the standard edition and $110 for the collectors. This was announced today by THQ Nordic.
It's a fun game.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. PoopyPants69 says, not a correction, but you missed the new update Winter Wonderland for Overwatch. It brings new skins, emotes, and voice lines, along with a new game mode called Yeti Hunter, and last year's mode Snowball Offense. Thanks for all you do. No thank you, PoopyPants69, for having the best name here on the forum so far. And then, Active Gaming Life says, Owlboy will arrive on Switch, as well as Xbox One and PlayStation 4, February 13th. Because I must have said it was coming sometime in 2018. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a motherfucking show. Tomorrow, Gary Whitta returns for Whitta Thursday. It does not roll off the tongue as well
no,
as
Whitta
no,
Wednesday.
No, not at all. Thank you if you're watching live for letting us do Kinda Funny Games Daily earlier. I'm going to go over and play Far Cry 5. I don't know if I was supposed to say that, but I'm going to say it. I'm sure it's embargoed, like actual impressions. But that's why we did things out of order.
And you haven't played it yet. So,
yeah, exactly.
I mean,
I'm just announcing what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
You want to fucking sue me, Ubisoft? Sue me. Please don't sue me. Please don't sue us. Please don't sue us. Anthony, thank you for coming through.
Thank you so much.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, Kinda Funny Games Daily posts each and every weekday, except for the fact that at Friday's our last show for the year, and then we'll be back in 2018. You can catch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, podcast services around the globe, and of course, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. No matter where you get it, thank you for your support. Please consider subscribing over at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. It keeps the mics on, and there's none of those service charges to worry about. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.